David Treen, January 31st, 1974.
Last week's a little very,
especially wanting to talk to you. We just came back from 2 weeks in Louisiana. And I think we've got a pretty good feel for the total exotic quality of politics in the state. But
we got a feel for it. We didn't necessarily get a total understanding of it.
No, I wouldn't claim a total understanding. I'd say we got some feel. But I don't think we're going to understand Louisiana Republican politics at all until after we talk to you. And so that's, since we have a limited amount of time.
Okay, sir, let's get right into it.
All right, why don't you
just dispense with the pleasantries until another time.
Fine.
Good.
Tell us about
it. You ask the questions.
What
is
the
state? You know where to begin.
All right, let me begin with this question. Louisiana is the last state of the states of the old Confederacy to elect a Republican congressman, despite the fact that it's got a single-member legislative reapportionment plan, which Republicans in other southern states think is the dream vehicle for electing Republicans to legislature. They only elected four. And it's our feel, at least, that compared with the other states, southern states, that the Republican Party development in Louisiana is less advanced than elsewhere. And the question is why?
Well, I think it's in terms of the number of office holders, it's certainly appropriate to conclude that it's less advanced. Before going to a general answer, the single-member legislative district situation was a boost, but of course the Democrat legislature drew the districts.
Parr drew the districts, didn't
he? Huh?
Parr drew them.
Well, matter of fact, they did, but it was in certain of the Senate districts they didn't. I don't think they approved the plan. As a matter of fact, the legislature changed it. I'm pretty sure of that. But this is really my point. I don't suppose right to your point. Let me try to give you reasons.
You can challenge that thesis, but that, I mean, that just...
No, I don't think that. I don't think that you can challenge that based upon the number of office holders that we have. You had in the governor's race, I was a candidate for governor, as you may know. You had a man who was survived the Democrat primary who was considered a reformer. So that took some of the thrust out of our, some of the wind out of our campaign. Edwards.
What is a reformer considered to be in
He's considered to be someone that seems to have a fresh, honest face, who says in a credible way that he is going to clean up all of the bad practices, regardless of what his intention is. He casts the image of a reformer, I think, quite well, and to the public at large. And I'm not saying whether he is or not, but I think he did. As to reasons why Louisiana is moved slower, I would say several. One, the registration situation in Louisiana, in which you need to be registered for at least 6 months in your party to participate in that party's primary. Other southern states have had the advantage of a less onerous registration, and there may be some that had just as hard, difficult a situation. But Texas, for example, you had voted in either primary for some years. That's been possible to vote in either primary. You must not only be registered for 6 months under Louisiana law to participate in the primary, and that means if you switch parties, you cannot vote or be a candidate in the primary of the other party. So that's held registration down to considerably. It's only 3% now in the state, as you undoubtedly found out. It makes it difficult for us to even get commissioners at election time, And because your commissioners at general elections are named by your political parties and must be affiliated with the party that names them and must live in the ward in which they're named. So you have many elections in which, simply because you don't have any Republican registrations, you can't name commissioners. Or maybe you've got two or three in a ward. And these people have to be at the precinct at 5:30 a.m. and serve till 8 o'clock at night. So you don't, you have a very meager number of people to draw your election officials from. So this, well, this has two effects. One, you don't get the protection at the polls, and two, it's rather discouraging to Republican candidates to know that they're probably not going to be able to get commissioners at the polls. So that's the registration factor, which, because of the law, you have a retardation of Republican registrations out of proportion to the Republican sentiment. Obviously, the sentiment in Louisiana for the Republican Party is much greater than its registration. But since you don't have the registration, you have the problems of commissioners, drawing candidates, etc. You don't have the reservoir of people from which to draw candidates. Your Democrats in office that might consider changing and running to Republican must make that decision at least 6 months prior to the primary date, let alone the general election. So, before issues or candidates in many instances begin to crystallize, the date has already passed by which you can change of registration. Let's take, for example, a presidential election, at which time we, of course, elect for Congress as well. The date by which a Democrat would have to change in order to run for Republican is passed before the nominating conventions ever take place. Long before, before it's even pretty clear who's going to be the nominee. And most of your Southern Democrat office holders are quite interested in who the Democrat nominee is going to be, as well as, of course, the Republican nominee. That's been very, very influential, as I'm sure you will agree. So when you get the situation like a McGovern being nominated, for example, for the presidency, you have a reaction among Southerners, even among those who are in office, who say, I just want to get out of this party. In fact, I'd like to run Republican. He can't. It's too late. He can't change his registration and run. That's a factor. Louisiana as a whole has not been as conservative. It's what aggregate profile or whatever you political scientists would call it, I don't know, is not as conservative as some of the other states. That's because of the southern part of the state, which is French Catholic, and tends to be, let's say, more liberal. It did not react. Southern Louisiana did not react to the Kennedy years and the Lyndon Johnson years nearly as negatively, and with respect to Kennedy, I would say probably not negatively at all, as did the Cotton Belt section of the South. North Louisiana is typical, I think, of the Cotton Belt. You know, Mississippi and North Louisiana is like Mississippi and Georgia and so forth. So, in other words, those are the conservative areas. Your South Louisiana is not particularly conservative. Those are the two principles. Those are two of the principal factors. Plus the fact that you got in your congressional elections, you got to look and see what. I think very few Democrat incumbents have been defeated in this phenomenon of the South's growth in Congress. I don't have the figures. There may have been some in the Goldwater election, but usually our growth is based upon winning a seat that becomes vacant. And we haven't had the vacancies in our conservative districts. Now, in some others you may have, but you haven't had them in ours.
How did you get active in the Republican Party in Louisiana? Are you a native of the state?
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Democrat first?
Yes, I think I registered Democrat the first time I registered. Then I became a Republican. I think I registered as a Republican around 1953. Yeah, I got back in service. 1953. Then I left. There really was no political. Well, there was a party of sorts. I wasn't really active in the party. I guess I got a little bit active in Young Republicans, which was a paper organization of about four people. Then I got out of it in around 1958, I'm not sure. And I joined the Louisiana States Rights Party at that time, which had no affiliation with the other States Rights Party of any other state. I left that in 62 and became a registered Republican in February of 62 and have remained since. I was really motivated to get into politics on the congressional level to oppose Hale Boggs. He provided the stimulus for me. And he was a Democrat, and there was support for me to run against him in the Democrat primary or in the Republican, as a Republican. And I chose to run as a Republican because I felt that I would be more in harmony with the policies of the National Republican Party than the Democrat Party. That if I got elected as a Democrat, I would be completely out of step with the Democrat Party here, so I couldn't see any future in that. So Boggs provided me a stimulus. And,
was that
on
the basis of his votes on open housing and what, voting rights act? Did
he vote
for
that? Yes, but that, well, no, it wouldn't have been because he voted that later. Open housing vote came in 1967, I think. And the Voting Rights Act was 1965.
You ran against
me. 62, 64, 68. And, no, it was his, generally liberal philosophy. His, one of the things he did that I think prompted a good bit of conservative opposition to him was his vote to pack the Rules Committee. At the behest of Kennedy, I guess that was in 61, he voted for that, 60-61, to increase the size of the Rules Committee. And, but it was, yes, it's generally liberal philosophy.
Was his campaign?
Boggs was really the only real strong liberal we had in Louisiana, but he'd been in office for a long time. And
was his active campaigning for Lyndon Johnson factor?
A factor for whom? Or,
well, a factor in your campaign against him, a factor for,
oh, did
as
I
far
make,
as opposition was concerned.
Oh, and the fact that I chose to run, or how I ran?
Well, more than a factor of, that you chose to run, I suppose.
64? Well, I guess that it was his, I don't think there's any question but that Boggs was going to support Johnson, or had already evidenced that he would support Lyndon Johnson. He had always supported the Democrat nominee. McGovern was the only time that he hedged a little bit, that I can ever recall that Boggs hedged a little bit on support of Democrat. No, I think it was a foregone conclusion that he would be a Johnson supporter. I would be a Goldwater supporter, and that would provide, yes, an opportunity to defeat him. But we didn't. We got 45%.
Here's one of the, I heard you speak incidentally in Atlanta in December. Mm-hmm. And was struck by what you said then, and also when we were in Louisiana. You ran 62, 64, 68, almost beat him in 68. Ran for governor. Was that the next race after that?
Yeah.
And ran for governor and ran better than any other Republican candidate had run. And ran again for Congress and got elected. Which shows a great deal of perseverance, but the on your part, but the thing that struck me was you were doing this, and it seems no one else, the Republicans haven't been able to get other candidates in Louisiana to do this. They haven't been able to get candidates to run. Am I wrong on that?
Well, it's been difficult. We've had other candidates run. We ran, Ben Toledano ran for mayor in 71 and did a very creditable job. Now, impossible place to elect a Republican. I thought he did a fantastic job in that race.
By and large,
we had some other races in 64 that where we didn't run is where you could have won, probably. Prentice Walker runs in 64, and Mississippi goes, what, 87% for Barry Goldwater. And they were kicking themselves, I guess, for not running more guys for Congress over there. We ran in the Boggs district, which was a liberally oriented district. We did run a candidate in the 8th district, a complete dud as a candidate who got about 45%. And we ran another fairly strong race in the old 3rd district, which I now represent. But we didn't run up in our conservative districts, which are the 4th and 5th, where Wagon and Passman are. And those are the two. In the 6th district, yes, we had a candidate in the 6th district, a guy named Floyd Crawford. And if you ever say it, I can't take it, so I won't say it. But we've had other candidates, and when Charles Lyons ran for governor, I'd say that was kind of the beginning of our present era. Well, he ran for Congress in special election 61, and he ran for governor in 64, and elected two of the legislature, and then we elected two in special elections after that. But another factor is McKithen could succeed himself, and when a governor can succeed himself, he pretty well wipes out the other party.
It's still a little bit difficult to understand, though, when you can get 40% or more of the vote in a gubernatorial election, that you don't really field very many candidates at all. You have, what, 4 state legislators who are Republicans?
Yeah, but we field it probably 35 candidates.
When we ask Democrats, obviously we get a biased point of view on this as to why that is the case. Why isn't the Republican Party stronger? They tell us that it's a policy in a sense of the leadership not to encourage candidates to run, and that they're interested in exclusive control of the party and keeping it tight and in the hands of a few people, kind of a post office kind of a
And interested in patronage.
Interested in presidential patronage.
Absolutely untrue. And I say that I hope with some credibility, because I know that the charge is prevalent, but there isn't enough patronage. There didn't begin to be enough patronage to make worthwhile the effort that you've got to put out if you're going to be a leader of the Republican Party in Louisiana. I spent 10 years of my life, and matter of fact, one time I computed the amount of time I spent, about 40% of all of my working hours for 10 years on the Republican Party. And what, to be able to help appoint a couple of judges and a marshal? Isn't enough federal patronage. I mean, there's a lot less than there ever used to be. The post office is gone. That's definitely not true. Now, to go back to say discouraged, to not feel a lot of candidates, sometimes leadership does say don't get in that race. And I hope the hell will continue. For candidates that run who've got no God blessed chance of winning, And then they want you to go out and raise money and beat your same contributors over the head again and again for these candidates that have no chance. It's ridiculous. I think that the present leadership agrees with that philosophy, that we need to pick and choose our fights. And these people that think, well, we're a growing party, we should throw a candidate into every breach, you can't do it. You can't get the kind of money necessary to run. You destroy your credibility if you keep running and running and losing. At least if you don't show some progress. I think I established some credibility because I showed some progress in these races. But even then, I was helped because there are just a number of people that just despise the Hale Box political position. I could never have gotten support just because they thought I was a sincere candidate. It had to be a reaction to the incumbent. And, well, now I've digressed all over the place. But insofar as trying to keep the party small for patronage, absolutely ridiculous. That charge, I think, might have been more valid some years ago in the Eisenhower years. Well, in the years before that.
How about the charge of weak party leadership in the sense of not being able to recruit sufficient good candidates?
Well, certainly you all sophisticated to know that just because you don't have a good result doesn't mean that you don't have good leadership. It doesn't necessarily follow. Just as a good political consultant, the best in the world can lose a campaign race, and a lousy one can win.
Was that meant for me?
Well, I think I noted that you were a consultant.
I don't know
what your record is.
Well, I'll tell you, on that score, because I want to ask you a question about it. I've always worked for Republicans, generally progressive, what you call moderate Republicans. I got involved in a campaign in North Carolina because of a friendship. First, I worked for a Democrat, and he won the nomination in two primaries, but lost the general election. I was asked on a television program.
Galifianakis?
No, Skipper Bowles.
Mm.
And, you know, have you ever worked for a Democrat before? The answer was no. Have you ever lost before? The answer was no. And the question was, does that tell you something? And what I wanted to ask you is, I guess you perceive yourself as a conservative, at least you're labeled as a conservative, in terms of your ideology or philosophy. And the fact that you won as a conservative Republican in Louisiana, you think that might be a model or a sense that if the Republicans are going to win in that state, what they need are conservative candidates to win?
Or I think the philosophy plays a part in the election, and the importance of philosophy will vary from district to district. But I am fairly well convinced after being involved in campaigns for some time, my own and others, and being up here in Congress, that it has more to, the result is more dependent upon the activities, the personality, the resources, and the activities of the candidate. I mean, how else do you explain that in two districts lying side by side, you can have a liberal guy representing this district and maybe one with the same demographic makeup represented by a conservative? And look at the Senate, you know. You got a liberal and a conservative representing the same state, and they both get elected over and over again. It's identity of the candidate. And I got elected in the 3rd Congressional District because I had a hell of a lot of name identification.
Yeah, but the hypothesis is put forward that the way the Republican Party can build itself in the South is to field conservative candidates. And if you look at...
Generally speaking, yes. Oh, I don't think you can win with the liberals in the South, particularly unless you've got a situation where it is a liberally oriented district and you've got an out... I think a liberal Republican can win in the South, yes. But your general statement, yes, the way for the Republican Party to build in the South is to be the field of conservative candidates, no question about that.
How about moderate?
But the personality of that candidate already works in the way he's received and his credibility.
Do you think that outweighs his ideology?
Hmm?
Does that outweigh his ideology or his philosophy?
Well, since we've got to generalize, I'd say yes, that outweighs his ideology. I don't think he'd win. I mean, that's one of many factors, like money, how well the guy looks, how he performs on TV, how he meets people, background. But ideology is one factor. But I, you know, take the personality and resources of the individual candidate, put them on the scale, and take ideology and put it on a scale. And I think the personalities and activities, including the consultants' work and all these, all of that adds up to a lot more than the candidate's ideology. And I wish it weren't so. I wish it were the other way, but I think that's what it is.
In the governor's race, drew a map of Louisiana and put the parishes you got a majority of the vote in. Mm-hmm. Compared it with the parishes that Bennett Johnson got a majority of the vote in, mm-hmm, in the Democratic runoff. The two maps would be almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard several interpretations. One is that basically that northern area is just a more conservative area. Each of you were perceived as a more conservative candidate.
Right.
The other, another theory is that your northern vote, to some extent, not from anything you did, but from the voter perception, to some extent reflected just an anti-Catholic bias, and that helped you in the north only by the fact of the matter that Edwards was Catholic and you were not.
Yes, I think they're both true. It was an anti-Edwards. They didn't cotton to Edwards. And if you've been, you say you've been in Louisiana the last couple of weeks, so you've read about his attitude towards Las Vegas and gambling, etc., or have you?
Heard you talk about
it. Well, he's just a fun-loving Cajun Catholic, and sure, that hurt him and helped me and helped Bennett in North Louisiana. And those characteristics helped him in South Louisiana against me.
Some suggest
they wanted a French, you know, Cajun governor.
So you do not,
many people did.
You do not interpret that. I mean, the election results in North Louisiana being any future Republican base necessarily.
Yes, I did say the more. Yes, I said that both of the factors you mentioned, I think, are important. Definitely the North Louisiana is more conservative, there's no question about it. Look at Charlton Lyon's race. Of course, he was from North Louisiana, too.
Yeah, but
I'm a South Louisiana and running strong in North. I don't even carry my own parish.
But he carried some parishes in South Louisiana, and you didn't.
Lyons?
He sure did.
Don't think he...
If you didn't carry them, they were some of his stronger counties.
Yeah, but he
got carry. More than 40% of the vote.
Yeah, that may be, but...
I mean, he showed more strength, relative strength, in the South
than
you did.
Well, you have to look at the history of the election. The fellow who was eliminated was a South Louisiana Catholic who lost in the Democrat primary. So he picked up a lot of the pro-Shep Morrison vote, who was the favorite in South Louisiana. But still, despite the fact that the Democrat survivor in 64 was a North Louisiana Protestant, Lyons got better vote in North Louisiana. You see, he didn't just pick up the South Louisiana vote that was unhappy because Shep Morrison didn't make it. Shep Morrison's a New Orleans Catholic. He still got his strength. I think if you go back, you'll find the only parishes he carried were in North Louisiana.
And there's a pattern in Louisiana voting of a fairly steady growth of the same type of urban Republican vote that you find throughout the South, in the urban areas. And I guess it's going back to my original question about, and yet you don't have the success, as much success in winning elections there, Republicans don't, as you do elsewhere.
Well, we haven't had the reservoir from which to draw candidates. There's no question about that.
You think that's the basic problem?
Yeah. Now what? When you start, we only had 1.5% registered Republicans until, and hell, a lot of these were postal employees from the Eisenhower days when you had to be a Republican to get a job. There's just no percentage in being registered a Republican, because you don't vote in any of the, what everybody considered to be the election, and you're for your school board or for your sheriff or all your local officials. So what's the percentage? So we didn't have any registered Republicans. Still only have 3% registered Republicans. So you don't have the reservoir from which to draw candidates.
And
conservatives by nature, of course this applies throughout the South, so it wouldn't be unique to Louisiana, but they just don't, by nature, don't become candidates.
Why is that?
Well, if you have a conservative makeup, you generally are not the type that likes to put yourself forward and beat your breast and do the things necessary to win elections. If you're conservative, you tend to stay back and not try to be the popular guy, the guy that's most popular with the majority of people, and that's what you got to do to get elected. It's not a conservative trait to move into a constituency and say, I want to be the most popular guy here.
They're basically ideologues and not activists.
Yeah. So,
I had one Republican in Louisiana tell me that one. Was nonsense, the idea of being a patronage party, because the kind of patronage that might be available to people in the Republican Party that we then weren't interested in anyway. That was nonsense. He also said he felt the argument made on the registration problems, that although it presents some problems, he felt it is too often used as a crutch. As an excuse, and that he felt the basic problem was in the party leadership, and not that they didn't want to expand the party so much as too much of the leadership at the top of the Republican Party we then didn't know how.
Well, I'm not going to say we've had outstanding leadership, and by that I don't mean that we haven't had some good people, but to find the good person who's got the time to devote building of the party is the most difficult job.
In many.
Maybe other states perhaps have been able to solve it. Now, in other words, I think that Charlie de Gerval is an individual, was a fine person, so is Jimmy Boyce. But the unique type leader like in Charlton Lyons comes along very, very rarely. And Charlton, I think, did help a great deal. I think he brought it out of complete chaos, which was left in 1961, when John Minor Wisdom left the party. He left it in the late 50s and became a federal judge. And he was the party. And when he became a federal judge, there was no party. Really,
so
none at all. So
Charlton
Lyons, I think, he was the instrument of putting it together, starting in 61, 62.
So did his death just leave a void?
Yes, it did, because he'd passed out of active leadership long before that. But, I guess it sounds like I'm making excuses for Louisiana, but really not. It was a more liberal state. It didn't have the impetus that the other states had, because it's didn't react as violently to Kennedy. It's the most heavily Catholic state in the South, isn't it? By and far, far and away.
Oh, yeah, about 40%. We're not bugging you about this. It's a real puzzle to us how in the other southern states there appears to be steady growth in the state legislatures and the Congress and so on, even like next door in Mississippi. But we just don't see much evidence of growth in the Republican Party. You're the only evidence success in the Republican Party that you can see something
like. Well, Mississippi's a much more conservative state than Louisiana. I don't know what the registration problem or situation is over there. He had some fellows run for mayor of Hattiesburg and Laurel, I think, and got elected. I think some of these were switchovers.
Did Lyons lose interest after he ran for governor, or did he have health problems?
Oh no. No, he was pretty old. He was 69 when he ran for governor. And he stayed in leadership for a couple of 3 years after that. And there was growth in his race, and you might say, well, only elected two to the legislature. That was not in a presidential election, of course. That was in February or March of 64. It was prior to Goldwater being nominated. The big impetus was when Goldwater was nominated. His race for governor was in March of 64.
One thing
when people the conservatives didn't think we were going to nominate Barry Goldwater for president.
Well, one thing I hear a lot of across the South from Republicans is that Watergate is hurting them insofar as candidate recruitment is concerned. It's not hurting too much in other ways. It's not particularly, doesn't seem to be hurting insofar as financial contributions. Nobody's losing members, at least, but I keep hearing people say it's hurting on candidate recruitment. Is that true also in Louisiana, where you already had problems with candidate recruitment?
Yes, I think it has. It's hurt because it's tended to dissuade a number of potential candidates from changing to the Republican Party.
Where do you see the party headed now?
If you think, say, 6 or 8 years down the road, what do you think it's going to be?
Well, the future of the Republican Party, I think, in Louisiana, is dependent to a large extent on what the national parties do at presidential elections. And I don't think people have any particular reason on a state or local level to say, well, I'm for this candidate because he's a Republican or for he's a Democrat. The only thing the principal thing that gives us impetus is the kind of philosophical stance and the kind of candidates that we nominate for President of the United States. So I think the future growth of the Republican Party in Louisiana and in other states, perhaps not to the same extent, is dependent upon who the Democrats nominate in 76 and who the Republicans nominate.
Do you see the growth of the party in 76? Is tied into who the presidential candidates are.
To a large extent.
Do you attribute part of your victory to that? To Richard Nixon's victory in Louisiana?
To all of the events that have caused people in the South to begin to think the Republican Party isn't so bad after all, yes. And Richard Nixon's nomination, as compared to McGovern's, is part of that. Definitely.
So you really link it to the National Party then?
Yes, to a large extent.
How about in terms of statewide office or the state legislature? That really has little relationship to the presidential party, does it?
No, you start off with the problem that the Republican, the word Republican didn't even have respectability to a lot of people. And to most people, not acceptability at all. So you only begin to tear that down, not by what your state chairman says or your national committeeman that gets a little blob on the back page, but what the head knocker Republican says and does and who he is. The identification of the Republican Party in the South is what the National Party does. On the Democrat side, it's not nearly as true.
But doesn't also a good deal of it ride on your performance? I mean, you're the first visible Republican office holder.
Well, I was going to get to that. I think the presidential is the most important.
Yeah.
I wish that weren't so, but I think it is. And yes, I think the performance of the Republicans that we have elected to office, and in turn that the weight that you attach depends upon the visibility of that particular office. And since mine is probably the most visible, then my performance is going to be, I think, important in the growth of the party. Very much so.
Yeah, as far as you, the best you can answer, is it your career intention to stay in the Congress? That is in the House?
Very honestly, I have not thought beyond about 2 years. And so I'm not sure. My long-range decision will probably be based upon what whether it appears that we're going to make more progress with this Republican Party. I've given about 11 years of my life to it, and if I can see some progress, some hope, then I'd be willing to spend as many years here probably as the electorate would want to send me. But if it would appear to be, you know, really, really hopeless, I probably would opt for trying to get back to the private practice.
Would you ever run again this year?
I can't state that publicly.
No, this is not.
Yeah.
Our book comes out in 76.
Yeah.
What was the effect on the party in Louisiana when the president, in effect, endorsed Senator Eastland against a Republican opponent in the neighboring state of Mississippi?
Of course, it was hardly known outside of Mississippi, except among the people that were actively involved. Didn't have much effect because it wasn't particularly known much. So you'd have to ask others about the effect in Mississippi.
It
wasn't general knowledge.
I had one person tell me that it had a very discouraging effect on those who knew about it.
Oh, I would say this is true. When you ask effect, I was thinking in terms of total electorate. Yes, among those who knew that were believed in, you know, staunch Republicans that believed in building the party, yes, it had a demoralizing effect.
Was that true?
To others, I think it was recognized as just, you know, a necessity.
Was that true in other southern states? Or
you mean the effect on the Eastland thing?
Among Republicans in other southern states.
I think it. I think it did wherever it was. Known. I think it had a certain demoralizing effect. But the people that really knew about it, you got to recognize these are the Republicans that were strong for what they were doing anyway. So I don't think it caused any of them to back off and say, well, the hell with it. It may have in a few instances. In other words, if I'm strongly in favor of the party, I don't get off the damn horse for every discouraging thing that comes along.
But it had the effect, though, of making this type of person say, well, you know, I'll still work for the party, but I'm not going to break my leg to do it.
Yes, I think it had a certain demoralizing effect among those that knew it, but I don't think many people knew it. Certainly didn't know it in Louisiana. We had a situation in Louisiana where we knew the president did not want an opponent to Otto Passman. We knew he didn't want an opponent to Joe Wagner. And if we had chosen to run candidates in those spots, you know, we had to know that the president wasn't going to give any active support at all to the Republican nominee against those two men.
Do you think the party made the right decision in not opposing?
Well, let's get one thing really clear here. The party doesn't make those decisions. That we don't get off in the closet and decide we're going to run in this race or we're not going to run in that race. I mean, we as leaders might make a decision as to whether we will try to find a candidate or we'll discourage a candidate, but we don't control that situation.
Right, well,
you're
registered. In that sense,
yeah.
Control, you can't stop someone from running,
right.
You can't force someone to run, but certainly if the leadership of the party wants to get a candidate, they're likely to find one.
We didn't look for candidate in those districts.
Do you think that was a mistake?
No. In 68? No, I don't think it was a mistake. First of all, we're not interested solely in, electing a guy that's got a Republican label. Joe Wagner and Otto Passman are good supporters of the philosophy we believe in. And they were both good supporters of Richard Nixon. Well, we don't really have that much incentive. I'd rather have Joe Wagner as a Republican, but we got to pick and choose our fights, and so why go fight our friends when we've got others that, and where you can't win, you know, you're not going to beat Joe Wagner. There would be a lot more antagonism between those who have different philosophies. I've been able to work with some liberals on some bills, a little bill that I wanted to get through, and we worked together and got through it. Didn't have any.
End interview, David Treen, no more transcription, this tape.